it's gone now.
Uh-huh.
But it led me right up to the point where I am right now.
Uh-huh.
And a new apartment and a new job.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's working
okay,
for you.
Huh?
It's working for you then.
It's done with now. Yeah. Whatever it was trying to do for me, it's accomplished. And it's gone.
Okay.
But it did guide me. But it's not an unusual experience then.
No, it isn't.
I went to know.
Common.
Yeah.
Okay, Laurie?
Thanks for all.
All right. Thank you. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind Experience. And you're talking about, Diane, you need a lens, a camera.
Oh, that's right. We're about to do an experiment of trying to take a picture of my astral body coming out of the physical. And we need a very specific, unusual, hard-to-find lens. And this is a UV lens, like ultraviolet lens. They're in the range of about $2,500 a piece that can attach to a camera. And we really believe that this will work. And an engineer friend of mine and myself are going to try this. And if anybody out there has a UV lens that they'd like to lend us and sort of get involved in this experiment, we'd love to hear from you.
And how do they reach you if they want to?
They can call me at 213-692-6556. And that's in Santa Fe Springs, California.
They want to get pictures of you going out of body.
Yes, we want to try this.
Make sure you're wearing something.
That's true. We'll try to arrange that.
Okay. James, you're on.
Yes, Diane. I'd like to know, your organization, do you train people how to get out your body?
Okay, there's two things that I'm a part of. IANS does not instruct nor give classes, but this is what I'm regional coordinator for California, and they're based at Connecticut University. And because of my tremendous desire to help the person in transition from having an out-of-body to a near-death experience, we provide a support group, okay? But that is not classes. The classes are done through 23 universities that I teach at currently through community service programs. And I have a class coming up here at Santa Monica City College in a couple of weeks.
What I'd like to know, is this like a self-hypnosis?
No.
If it's not, what's the difference?
You're totally awake until you're out. And if it works and you get out consciously, you absolutely know that you're here now, James. You're awake. You know that you're drifting to sleep, but you're not asleep yet. And suddenly, you realize that you are standing out of your body, retaining all the consciousness, all your cognizance within this astral body outside of you. And the physical body usually is laying limp, not dead, not threatened of being dead, but just by itself off to the side, and you look back at it. You can be aware that it is actually at rest. But some people have actually, I met a lady today who at a woman's club meeting can frequently find herself out of body, looking down at her physical body, talking to the ladies next to her. So this doesn't always mean that the physical body has to be at rest.
Can you do anything physically when you're out of body? I mean, to touch someone and they know that you're touching them? Is that?
I have not. No one has seen me out of body, but I have gotten out of body simultaneously with someone else in a physical different place. In other words, two people living in a different city simultaneously get out of body, see each other on an astral plane, write down the experience, come back to the body, and they are identical. And this doesn't happen too often, but maybe a couple times a year. And when it does, it's very special.
How long does that take? What's the time that you're talking about?
You could try to lay down to get out of body, and it may take 10, 15 minutes, and it may take 5 hours. And I can't tell you how long that would take. It determines on how you think, how you concentrate, how you rest, and all those processes.
What does this do for you physically? I mean, when you come back into body, does it prolong your life, or does it...
I really can't answer that. I'm convinced you leave the body to bring energy back to the physical. Now, that's my own personal opinion, but...
Energy in what sense?
It's like a person who can meditate or quiet the body and just rest for about 10 minutes, and without sleep you feel sort of rejuvenated, and you really didn't fall asleep.
That's like a suspended animation.
Hard to describe words. There's hard. What's interesting, too, with people who've had near-death experiences, people who slept 10, 12 hours a day prior to a near-death experience frequently will sleep as few as 4 or 5 hours a night and have so much energy after a near-death experience. It's just phenomenal.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay, James. Good question. And we have Kim on the line. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Diane, mm-hmm. I'd like to explain my situation. I had a feeling of a presence laying down in my body. It was not that I was out looking at myself. It was like I felt it, I was asleep, and it was about 7 in the morning, just opened my eyes and felt the presence of pressure just come in.
Okay. Did you awaken a second time after this or not?
I felt awake the whole time.
Okay, so you weren't sleeping prior to this?
Oh, yes. Before this happened, I had been asleep.
Okay.
And then woke up.
Okay.
Just opened my eyes, and then just, the laying down.
I know. Sometimes when the astral body returns to the physical, in other words, when the astral body actually lays back down on the physical, you can have this sensation. Sometimes there's tremendous pressure on the heart. Also, in coming back to the body, there can be tremendous heart palpitations. Your heart beats quite fast. And unless you have a heart problem, if you don't, then you know that this might be the astral body coming back in.
It was my astral body.
It could have been, huh?
It was like, because I felt I had no control over my body, but my face started making smile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't doing it. It was like something was doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't lift my arms.
So you felt sort of paralyzed.
Yes.
This is the state when a person is half out of the body and half in. And during that paralysis, the reason why I'm aware of this is after my near-death experience, about within a few weeks, I had my very first out-of-body. I never in 28 years' time remembered having either an NDE or an out-of-body prior to that. And I was just laying in bed and wanted, instead of to be afraid of the paralysis, kept asking, what's happening? What's happening? And I discovered that my eyes were not really looking out of the physical body, but indeed I was sitting up, half in the physical body, turned around, saw my face laying with my physical body on the bed. My physical body was laying down below me. And so I'm aware that this paralysis is when the astral body is only half in and half out, or out of coincidence with the physical. And when that happens, you can't usually move the physical body. Try not to be afraid, and if you want to wake up, just move your little fingers. You'll be back in your body.
Okay. Is it, in the sense I've understood talking to people, when we sleep, we actually aren't asleep. We are out of our bodies in other places?
I do believe this is true. Sometimes you are out while you sleep. And sometimes those can be those extremely vivid dreams that when in the morning you wake up, you say, my goodness, I felt like I was right there. And frequently those dreams end by a sense of falling very quickly down a hill or driving your car down. Make sense?
I know that feeling of just like, and you wake up.
Right, suddenly. And this is because the astral body is coming back to the physical. And when it hits bottom, i.e. when it hits your physical body, you are suddenly quite awake.
Okay.
Because you don't want to overshoot it or you'd go through the bed.
Right. All right, thank you.
The runway is only so long.
That's right. Well, no, you can go through. It's just...
Then you have to make another pass.
That's right.
I know we're pressed for time. Is there any way that I could start kind of expanding that to where I could bring myself out of my body? I haven't been able to come out of my body and look at myself.
Even in my classes, when people get out for the very first time, sometimes they're brave enough to turn around and see the body. Sometimes they say, wait a minute, I'm not ready for this. I know I'm out. This is the neatest thing that's ever happened, but I'll look the next time. So even though you try a lot, it doesn't mean that you'll do it every time.
Okay, one more thing.
Uh-huh.
When you get out of your body and you have encountered other souls.
Yes.
What, can you explain what that looks like? Is there a vision there? Do you see something?
If the person is deceased, they usually are transparent, but it depends on what kind of plane I'm on. And sometimes an astral body can look quite solid, just like here. And usually they glow, and they look like they're made out of light. And it can be different colors, depending on where you are.
Are you involved in channeling and that type of thing?
Oh, yes, but that's kind of not what we're talking about tonight.
That's another show. Huh?
That's part 5 of my classes.
Okay.
Everybody is channeling today. We're 25 minutes away from midnight on this Saturday night. Open Mind, Diane Morrissey is my guest. I'm Bill Jenkins, and I'll be right back.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so excited.
Did you get out of body? Is that
part? Well, you know, this is a turning point in my life because I've never heard anybody talk about this, and I was on the freeway and turned on the radio, and I had to get off of the freeway to call. I made a public phone.
Don't tell me that you've been going out of body, honestly.
Well, what I originally called for is that as Diane was talking, I've had several experiences over the past year of my father being in my room through the television set.
Wow,
is that possible? I know it is. I know it's true. And I tell people and they freak out and they think I'm crazy. But
that
I know
the guys at Channel 7.
It's like the first time I experienced it, I came into my room and it's like this black and white set that's never on, hadn't been on in a few years. And you know, like the green glow of a black and white set?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what they look
when
like.
When it's like turning off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how strange. I mean, it can't be on. And I looked, and the tube was on. And then it kind of scared me, so I unplugged the set. And then I looked later, and it was still on. Then the next time, like a few days later, my boyfriend was with me, and he saw it, too. And then it really freaked me out. And then, like a few days later, same thing, and I was alone, and I said, Dad. And I started speaking to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I knew it was him, but there was no picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
But this green glow, and it was like I talked, and then he kind of went away. And
did he talk back?
Well, no, not out loud, but it's like I knew inside of me what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is that common?
Well,
I haven't heard it on the TV, but it can happen certainly with telephones, and people have called people, but their voice is on the phone. I want you to understand, people do recognize it, and they say, can you hear me? Can you talk to me? Or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't respond back. They don't hear you.
Well, that's happened to me while I've been sleeping in dreams, but I know it's not a dream. It's like we meet in another state.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
What do you mean?
Well, I just was on the freeway, and I mean, what is this whole thing called? And then talking about out of body as I've been holding on the phone, then as you're talking, I'm realizing that I've had those experiences before, but I never thought about it to even think that this was something
real.
Real, yeah.
Right.
We find someone else who goes out of body in this town. You know, Lynn,
that's what
I
we
can't
need
go
to do,
out of body.
As let people feel that it's okay, that you're not necessarily going crazy, that it isn't something that you may not understand.
Well, it's exciting.
It is. It can be.
So, are you a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have classes?
Right.
And what do you teach? Like how to do this more often or how to get in touch with
Right, and how to get in touch with the soul and the spirit and the body and get more focused on all of
really?
These things.
Really? In Los Angeles?
Uh-huh.
You have a pencil and paper there?
No, I'm on a payphone.
Give a call to Santa Monica City College. I'll be there within the next month. You can give them a call at Community Services, and they'll tell you what day the class is.
And what's the name of the course?
Parapsychology ESP Part 1.
Parapsychology ESP Part 1. Oh, great.
Okay.
Got that down?
Well, I'll remember it. Oh,
okay.
God, I mean, this is...
Be sure to tell me who you are, and we'll laugh together then.
Wow, that's great.
Okay.
Oh,
and say hello to your
You're
dad
welcome.
And tell him if he uses the television
set
again.
Well, the last thing is, can one manipulate that? It's like, afterwards, I got kind of scared because I thought, God, you know, he could intrude on my life. Like, you know, in my bedroom. And last time, I felt like my privacy was invaded.
Well, tell him he hasn't got his union card.
And I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm not ready right now, and then it kind of go away.
Well, you can learn more about ghosts and apparitions in Part 1.
Great.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right. Thank you. On the freeway.
On the freeway. It's a good place to have an out-of-body. I'm convinced they happen quite frequently there. You know those great big blank spots when you've just driven 5 miles and don't remember one sign passing you? And you suddenly are awake and go, oh, my goodness, did I even stay in the same lane?
I thought it was because I was tired.
I don't think so.
You know, we had an engineer here who was taking acting courses, and he was listening to one of those mood-setting tapes that he would listen to on his cassette deck, you know, Balance You. And he came in, and he was just scared to death. Because all at once he found himself sitting about 100 feet above his brand new car he was so proud of. And he is watching it, you know, wind its way through thick traffic on the San Diego freeway.
I've met a few people that have done this. And what's interesting, I've started taking a poll. There is not one person out of about 3,000 that raised their hand in the past few years that have experienced this. One man even told me he drove across the entire state of Kansas in that state of consciousness. And they have never had a car accident. Yet, if I blindfold you, Bill, and put you in the parking lot right now, I guarantee you probably wouldn't make it 2 blocks down the road.
You can rest assured on that. I'm doing good to make it with my eyes wide open. But no, Russell never had an accident, and as soon as the car would pull off at the right exit to go to his home, he would pop back into Bonnie. But when he was out on the freeway, he was up above it.
Right.
He finally got to where he could see the signal lights before they were coming up. You know,
mm-hmm.
He had a good vantage point. But
I'm convinced the spirit actually, or this astral body, helps protect the physical in some way and knows things before they take place. And you're always back in the body. If there's any danger to the physical, or if you need to wake up, or if somebody's coming to the door, you'll frequently just sort of bounce right back in or be sucked back in.
Well, I thought it'd be good to take
wide awake.
Take this guy along with us if we went on a trip, because he could keep his eyes peeled for the cops.
True.
You know,
true.
He has a good vantage point up there. We'll be back. I'm Bill Jenkins on KABC. Susan is on the line. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hi, Diane. Hi, Bill.
Uh-huh.
I've had 3 conscious out-of-body experiences in my life.
Uh-huh.
The first one was when I was 3 years old and drowned,
mm-hmm.
and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was a few years ago when I felt a part of everything. It wasn't necessarily me against the world. I was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was about a month ago, right before my father passed away, and I was able to travel to him and talk to him. It's only after the funeral was over that I realized that we were talking, both of us, in astral body, because his nurse never looked up.
Uh-huh.
And he was able to give me a code word so I could get on the next plane and get home.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, I don't make easy landings when I come back. I sort of crash land, and
uh-huh.
I end up almost out of the bed.
Wait a minute, Bill. She's got a serious thing going here.
I can't get out, and she's crash landing.
But I have no control of getting out either. It seems that it's, well, drowning, I guess.
Well, that's sort of like an NDE. It isn't really like an out-of-body. In other words, it's being caused by an outside phenomena. I mean,
right.
I'm convinced you don't need drugs. I mean, I've never even tried my first cigarette. And you can get out of body willing it. You don't always get out. You don't always get to where you want to go. And there's many forces and things that kind of pull you on the other side. And it's hard to explain that. It's a feeling more than it's not a physical sensation. But in many ways, it feels more physical than even being here.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I've never, I'm sure I've controlled it because it's me, but I never felt, it was always like 5:30 in the morning when I was fast asleep. I think that's the easiest time for the spirits to sort of shake me out.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I do have the question about the crash landing.
Okay. Well, if you try to write your dreams down and pay more attention to those extremely vivid dreams when you're falling, when you're in an elevator, you're coming back, try to wake up during that time in the dream. And then you can actually experience coming back to the body,
mm-hmm.
and pay more attention to it. Just keep a journal of what's happening in the dream state. And frequently these very vivid dreams can be out of body. And if you force yourself to try, tell yourself before you go to sleep, I'm going to wake up as I'm coming back. Sometimes you can be conscious right before you come back, be aware of it, and then tell yourself to land softly. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Many times, do you experience the physical body jerking or with a sudden...
Yeah, my whole entire body is off the bed.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like a bounce
and
on the bed, and then my body gets off
right.
the bed.
If you sleep with a partner, you ask that person next to you, did you see me just move? Did you see my body move? 80% of the time, they'll say, absolutely, you never moved an inch. And this is because when the astral body comes back, it creates such a violent sensation to the physical in the change of conscious state that you can actually feel like you were thrown out of bed when sometimes you never even moved.
Oh, well, my cat seems to get off the bed rather quickly.
Well, sometimes you do move, and it's hard to know. If there's someone next to you, ask if you actually moved, and just try to wake up as you come back. And
you do feel that there are sometimes helpers that help us get out.
Absolutely.
And to answer, there was a gentleman who was talking, asking you questions before. It was as though I met with my father, and he also was out of his...
Is your father living or just...
He passed away right
okay.
in my arms when I got home.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's because of my out-of-body experiences that I'm able to handle his passing this way compared to my mother, who's not handling it quite as well.
That's true. When you know that there's something on the other side, you can rest assured in a feeling within you that you know they're okay and there's something there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was able to touch him out of body.
That is true. If you're both out of body simultaneously, you can touch. And the touch can seem even more real than the physical,
mm-hmm.
or you can pass through each other so that you actually feel like you've walked through another person.
That I haven't experienced, but I have experienced just... It seems like it's a natural state of being. You're not thinking, well, I'm out of body and my body's in bed. You are there. So that is, for me, it was my natural state of being. It was no different until I came back and then went, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But each one has been completely different.
They can be.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look for you at the Santa Monica
okay,
City
great.
College.
All righty.
And thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Susan, thank you for sharing all of that with us on Open Mind tonight, KABC. Pardon, a number and address how people can reach you before we do that again.
They can write me, Diane Morrissey, at P.O. Box 4241, Santa Fe Springs, California, 90670, or call me at 213-692-6556.
Okay. And, of course, that's on file with broadcast information here in case you... didn't get it down. We have it, and we'll be more than happy to give that to you. If you call Monday morning after 9, talk to lovely and helpful Lita. Lita. Joanne, you're on.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I've had a number of out-of-body experiences within the last 4 years.
Uh-huh.
However, I am always frightened.
Okay, when are you frightened? While you're out or only when you come back into the physical body does it scare you?
While I'm out.
Okay, what frightens you about getting back to the body?
Well, okay, number one, I do not see myself.
Okay.
Lying on the bed or reclining.
All right, most times when people are afraid, they don't want to look back at the physical body. That's okay. All right.
Okay, I'm dozing off.
Uh-huh.
That's usually when it happens, when I'm first falling asleep or semi-reclining.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm in three places at the same time.
Okay.
I'm aware of myself. In the bed, but I do not see myself physically. You
okay.
see me?
All right.
Then I could be like hovering in my living room, and then I'm walking down the street, and then I feel my feet going off the ground, and then I'm hovering over like an intersection. That was my last experience.
Uh huh.
And I'm aware of the person in the bed screaming, like. You know, I want to be free, but I can't move.
Okay.
And I'm aware of the person I'm hovering over in the living room, like if my husband was watching TV or something.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean?
Right.
And it's frightening, but the minute I come back together in my body, I'm angry that I didn't enjoy the experience.
Move your little fingers. Think about moving your little fingers while you're out. You'll be suddenly back in your body and wide awake.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. Joanne, I'm sorry we have to go.
Oh, okay.
But appreciate you sharing that with us. Diane, thank you for giving up one of your hours.
You're welcome.
About the optophonics experiment. We'll have to have you back.
That's
this
right.
Fall. Next week, I'll be on vacation. The week after that, Dr. Russell Targ and Keith Harari. It'll be quite a night.
KABC Talk Radio 79.
my intellectual side was in open revolt.
Mm-hmm.
It was an absolute rebellion. It was resisting everything I had experienced. But a part of me could not disown the experience. That there was actually experience of my being someplace other than where I was with the kahunas. And there was no communication. There was no briefing. There was no hinting. There was nothing going on.
You were just taking a look.
We were in totally different spaces in the same building, but in different spaces altogether. We weren't even looking at each other. And it was the most incredible thing. And I've done a great deal of research on this. And again, it comes back to being willing to have a formless experience without explanation, without reason, without analysis.
Well, whenever you find law enforcement, high government law enforcement, as well as even local law enforcement, using the talents of the out-of-body traveler for a crime investigation, you know that they think there's something going on.
Something going on, right. You know, what's so amazing is that we have 98% ahead of us to learn yet. Total human knowledge equals 2% of what's available. And then 98% is still ahead of us. That's got to be one of the most exciting things to contemplate.
That's one of the things I love about doing this show. You know, I look back 4 years ago, what a dull world it was. And then I started doing this thing and getting involved with all of these marvelous people who listen with me. And, of course, I want to get involved. And life is fantastic,
isn't it?
You know, what you see in the newspapers and on television, forget that. That's old hat. I got something new to share with you.
That's right. It's yesterday.
I mean, who needs that stuff? That's bad. Does that help you, Don?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for asking that. You know, every now, Jim.
Yeah, and we're having a free intro to this seminar on June the 16th. That's next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And for information about this or about the book or anything for that matter, I invite people to call us. And I have two numbers. They're both 881 prefixes, 213 area code, 881. One is 881-1573, and the other one is 881-1450. And call between the hours of 9 and 5 during the week, any time at all. And we're glad to give you all the information you want. If you can't find the book, please call us, and we'll make arrangements to have it.
Do you have an address?
The address is P.O. Box 394-394. That's Tarzana, 91356. And that's our mailing address.
Now, if you missed all of that,
mm-hmm.
lovely Lita, who was on the phone a little bit earlier, getting on mine because I didn't give her the information. She has your telephone number and address down pat. And if you know the number of the MUFON convention or exactly when it is, please call Lita and get her off of me. She's something else. Chuck?
Hello.
What's your mind doing to you tonight?
About what yours is doing.
You're in trouble, Chuck.
I hope not. I hope you're there for a long time because we certainly need that kind of open mind sort of
thing.
Thank
you very much.
Yes, and I enjoy your guest very much. And anyway, I wanted to ask one or two questions of him, and that had to do with the in remote vision and things like that. If that gets too esoteric and we want to stop that, fine. I'll ask you a couple other questions that I had to do.
Well, we may can deal with that. Go ahead.
Okay. Both of you, then. Do you know anything that is going on with the Russians? And I mean, this sounds kind of weird, about what they're doing with remote vision and, just that kind of thing and what they're able to do with that. And then I have two other questions that I'd like to do that have to do with what you've been talking about.
Well, that's a little bit out of Jim's range. He's shaking his head there. Let me give you some answers here for you on your questions.
Yes.
Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who's the director of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, will be on in October. And the Remote Vision Laboratory at Princeton and at Stanford, of course, has been very high on their list of activities. So we'll go into that deeply. The Soviets are deeply working on remote vision, and they're using it as a surveillance device. And we also are doing that, so we're not sitting around here alone. We'll also get into that with...
get away from that, then.
I just want to tell you also, we'll also later get into that, I think, early in November with Tom Bearden and Bill Tiller.
I'm delighted to hear you're going to be there in November because I think that what you're doing is not only expanding minds, but you are opening up people to information that they just simply do not have by, you know, if you're watching your basic television. Or
didn't know it existed, did they?
They certainly did not. And
but it's an interesting thing they do at Princeton with remote vision.
Yeah,
they can take people off
do.
The street,
yeah.
Take you into the laboratory, give you some mind-quietening techniques,
mm-hmm.
and these are just random people. Give you coordinates on the map, and it's almost 99% that your description
amazing.
Of that area will be accurate.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, that's what I was interested in, because I've been dealing with a group that's worked with that for the past couple of years, more than that, and the man's a scientist with a major corporation. And
well, we're beginning to understand the physics and dynamics behind that, and that is that your mind, your left and right mind,
mm-hmm.
actually act as a very natural scalar wave interferometer.
Yep.
And by creating one scalar wave and then creating the second scalar wave with the right brain, you're able to actually pick up what's happening there, when those two scalar waves come together and couple.
Okay. Just let me ask you something, and that is a little bit apart from what your guest is doing there, and that is that I've learned that I don't learn. You just do what you do. I bend metal and do things like that. Now, that means forks and spoons and things like that. And that's kind of strange, and I hope it's something that can relate to your guests' knowledge there. But I've been doing that for the past 2 years now, and not for any particular reason. I just do it, and I don't worry about it, and if it, you know, it doesn't benefit me any. It just knowing that, and also healing, sensing the heat and the tensions and the things in a person's body, and being able to apply whatever energy, I guess, to those areas. Does that make any sense to him? And because I know it's true, I know that. It already works. He can tell me what he wants, or you can, and also I just happen to know that it works. And bending metal is no big deal, unless you're doing some major government project or something like that. But it's a very simple thing, and applying.
Well, it's not simple for a lot of people until they understand that they can do it.
Well, that's
everybody can do it.
That's
anybody
the point I was going to make here, was that the only limits that we experience are the limits that we accept or place on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep a limit very, very tight surrounding you, then your whole life will be about that limit.
Mm-hmm.
And in all directions, I don't care what direction you want to take this, the only limits that you have are the limits that you insist upon holding in place, that keep you stuck in place as well.
You got that right.
Well, you know, one of the things that you learn to do whenever you start beginning to understand the enormous power of the mind, and you begin to realize that the mind creates energy.
Mind through the body.
A thought is in the virtual state. It is a piece of energy.
Mm-hmm.
We now can scientifically prove that. Now, I have a whole bunch of spoons at my house and forks that have been bent. By Greta Woodruff. She comes over there and the silverware just starts twisting up. And really, that's true. And not only that, she has a new thing she does with it now. She shrinks it about 25%.
I haven't done that.
Now, I have learned how to mentally dissipate clouds. Give me a cloud, any cloud, and we'll just get rid of it. That's a very basic mind teaching technique to bend metal and to dissipate clouds and all of that. And
well,
that's just proving to yourself that your mind can do these.
Oh, yeah. It sucks up the energy, and if you're able to focus it, then it's amazing what you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely incredible. And I sure wish. Can I talk to you off the air? Because we're taking up airtime, which means commercial.
Well, not
time.
Tonight, but you can call me. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, but after that, I'm here from 9 to 4, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you. Talk to people all day.
What
long.
Number is that?
557-7201. They'll get to me.
Okay.
Call the radio station and ask for Bill, and they'll say, "Well, get in line," and I'll get to you.
Yeah. Well, I learned from somebody else, and it turns out we have some major corporations, thankfully, that are working in this area, and
very, very definitely we did.
Yes, we do. Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
All right, Chuck. Thank
Goodbye.
You.
You know, one of the most difficult things for people really to understand or really to appreciate is that we have a hard time getting beyond the words. We use words as barriers or shields against experience. And I heard myself say, I know I said it, you know, that the moment you realize that you're part of everything, you do indeed become part of everything. But we exclude ourselves. We create so many systems in our lives, so many agendas, so many formula.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that systems are a two-edged sword. Anytime you create a system for anything, automatically you exclude more than you include.
Well, I like what you said a minute ago because you jumped on what I said. I didn't mean it the way I said it, but it sounded that way. I said about the formula for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want a formula.
That's well, life.
Yeah, that's what bureaucrats do, you know, and that screws up the whole world.
That's right.
Every time one of those people get involved with that or an attorney. And and you don't want to have that.
I think you and I were the same person in a previous life. I swear, you and I say the same words simultaneously. You know, I think it and you say it, and it's incredible. I really enjoy being with myself.
They can sue me. They can't touch you. You're my guest here. Jesse, you're on with us here.
Good, finally. First of all, I want to ask a question. What has happened to Vladimir Posner?
He's the Silver-Tongued Fox.
Pardon? He used to be on Ray Bream's show.
Well, Vladimir's on every Wednesday night. This is whenever we talk to Radio Moscow, for those who don't know who Vladimir Posner is, with Ray Bream. And Vladimir speaks very good English. And, of course, if you listen to Vladimir Posner, every Russian that exists is a carbon copy of Jesus Christ. And they never had a, an ill thought about anybody, and that is utopia over there. But it's interesting to hear what Vladimir has to say.
Is he on television?
No. We're able to reach Vladimir every Wednesday. It's through a telephone line, and it takes quite a deal to get to Vladimir, by the way, because the Russians don't like you really using their telephone lines. But we do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I have a little poem. It has a lot of beautiful philosophy, which I think all of us would enjoy hearing.
Make it quick, Jesse.
All right. It's called Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do ever to be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain be efforts. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live for thee. And that is all.
Okay. That's a delightful thing.
Thank you very much.
An unselfish kind of approach to life, Jesse. Appreciate that very much.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you very much. Okay, Mark, what's on your mind? We're getting short on time, but we want to fit as many as we can.
Okay, Bill, I'll try to go pretty fast. I'm enjoying your guest very much, and I heard you talking about right brain and left brain hemispheres. I came across something very interesting this week in regards to breathing through either the left or right nostril and actually controlling which brain you want to deal with. And I came across it in a publication, I won't mention the name, where they're doing some research down at the Salk Institute.
It's all right if you mention the name.
Okay. It's sat in New Realities magazine, and it's this month's issue. And
our agent say that.
Okay. David Shanahoff Kalza is doing the research out there, and I think they're also doing it at the San Diego School of Medicine. And I did a little experiment myself and found it really opened up some centers of thinking. I could think a lot more clearly depending upon which nasal passage I wanted to block. I wouldn't do it for a long period of time, but maybe for 15 minutes at a time.
Well, that is a new school of thought. I don't know how proven it is.
It has not been proven, but they are doing some pretty extensive research right now, and apparently they've gotten some mind-boggling results.
Jim's sitting over here nodding his head.
In this part of the world, it may not be, but in the Orient, it's about 2,500 years old. There's a book called The Science of Breathing, and you can get it at the Himalayan Institute, and it'll tell you all about that. It's got some philosophy in it, but not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of validity to it. That breathing is taken for granted, but actually it is your connector with all life.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Well, you know, the metaphysicians have known, of course, that deep breathing is, you should just do that normally. You learn to properly.
Well, you notice that people get anxious, get frightened, or something to stop breathing.
First thing they do is
take
a deep breath.
Yeah.
Stop the feeling.
Now what you got to do is you got to breathe your way through whatever happens, and you find that you release a lot.
But as I understood Mark, he's talking about closing the left or the right passage. Now that will affect the left or the right brain?
Yes.
That's
yeah,
in that philosophy as well.
It's in the science of breath.
Close the left nozzle and you shut off the left brain?
Mm-hmm. And
I think everybody ought to put a plug in their left nozzle.
Actually, what I found is a lot of times you will open up the right brain more by closing off by letting the air go to the left brain, you might get more right brain activity.
Quite often that happens because the right brain controls, in those functions, the left side of the body.
Well, right? one of the most interesting things about studying the left-right hemisphere is that there is a natural connector, and it's called a metaphor. And notice that the greatest teachers in the world always use metaphors to teach.
And with that, we're going to have to metaphor on out of here. I appreciate that, Mark. There's the music. Means we have to go. Jim Takacs has been our guest tonight. Jim, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Next week, a rebroadcast with Dr. Andrei Puharich. And the week after that, we'll take a progression into the future in a little bit of a hypnotic thing, which I think you'll find fascinating. I did. See you in 3 weeks.